I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later, we have a preview of Briefs, a festival of short LGBT plays that include such themes as dating issues and parenting. We'll talk it over with Joan Lipkin of that uppity theater company and with director Chris Limber and playwright Donald Miller. And in our monthly soundbite segment, in partnership with Sauce Magazine, we're going to examine the ingredients that result in a successful restaurant. We'll talk that over with Chris Summers of Gringo and Pie and Mike Randolph of The Good Pie and Half and Half. Well, last year, Shannon Wood became the principal timpanist for the St. Louis Symphony, replacing the late Richard Holmes, who held that position for something like 41 years. Shannon Wood, welcome to Cityscape.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Should I say afternoon?
Yeah, somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
It's nice to meet you for the first time. Welcome to town. You haven't been in your position 41 weeks, let alone 41 years.
Exactly. I joined the orchestra this September, and we moved here in August. I was previously in Grand Rapids with the Grand Rapids Symphony, and we've adjusted really easily. It's a lovely town, beautiful people, and a wonderful orchestra.
I want to ask you about that later. Did you happen to know Mr. Holmes at all? Or?
You know, I never met him. I knew well of him because he was so well known and recognized in the timpani community, and he had had different published books and timpani parts where he would have his own kind of notes and instruction. But he was such a kind and wonderful person.
41 years, quite a gig, huh?
Yeah, I think he joined in 68 or 69, I'd heard.
Gee. Well, maybe we'll have you back in 41
yeah,
years
exactly.
And see if you're still here.
Yeah.
Well, on Sunday, next Sunday that would be, one of your compositions is going to be featured in a chamber music concert at Washington University.
That's right.
So my question to you is, do you need to be an astronomer to appreciate this? Because I was reading about it.
Not necessarily, but it is titled Oort Cloud. And Oort Cloud is this kind of spherical icy body out in space, and it's filled with comets. And I was reading about it and just kind of became intrigued with this celestial body that was out there. And I usually use different kinds of ideas or themes or even artwork to come up with musical ideas. And so it stemmed from that idea, and I wrote this piece featuring solo percussion, and I'm going to play the solo part. And a lot of the different musical lines in the piece kind of reflect on, you know, that icy celestial body and also comets that kind of have these trajectory routes and flows out towards the other planets in the area. So it kind of makes it a little more easily listenable for an audience when they can kind of hold on to an idea like that.
It's a bad joke. I could say this idea is really out there.
Yeah, exactly.
But no, seriously, though, were you interested in astronomy before?
I did have an astronomy class in my undergrad, which was at University of Michigan. And I've always been fascinated with it and life beyond and kind of the unknown. So I wouldn't say this piece came from that per se, but I do love astronomy and the idea of, you know, something larger than ourselves.
We'll talk more about that piece later. Do you own a telescope?
I don't.
Most recently, you mentioned the Grand Rapids Symphony, which was your most recent location. And since this is sort of an introduction for you to our audience, could you talk a little bit about your background, your education, and what you've done?
Yeah, my undergrad's at University of Michigan, where I focused on orchestral percussion. And then I did a master's at Temple University, specializing more in orchestral percussion. And then after that, I went to New World, which is an academic training orchestra down in Miami Beach. Mm-hmm. And that was really a fantastic experience. You're working with a lot of various conductors and also performing a wide range of repertoire equivalent of a major symphony, touring and recording. So it's quite the schedule. And I think the most positive aspect of it that's in my mind is being centered around individuals who all have a common goal, and it's to really improve, to focus on your instrument, hone in on whatever it is you need to hone in on to develop, and then ultimately get a job. So it's inspiring. It's inspiring and really exciting to be there. And then after New World, I landed my first job with the Florida Philharmonic as principal timpanist. And from there, I went to Grand Rapids Symphony and now here.
Well, you just mentioned the goal is to get a job, which is exactly right. I heard that you had several job offers and this last time, and you ended up choosing St. Louis. So what figured in on that?
You know, I was very humbling because it's really unusual to be in a situation like that. First of all, timpani positions don't open up that often. And as you referenced early, you know, Rick Holmes had been here 41 years. And even the job I came from, the timpanist had been there 30 years. And that's a much smaller orchestra. So, you know, last year there were a good six openings just happened to be that way. And things did go well for me and I was offered – I did well at several of the auditions and had a couple of contracts on the table. And I chose St. Louis for a number of reasons. Number one, I really loved working with Robertson and the time that I had
David.
Worked with him. Yeah,
David.
With David. And the orchestra had something unique and special. The fellowship and the sense of friendships really stood out. I loved the city. And it wasn't a huge change geographically, so it was kind of common ground coming from Michigan. It's still the Midwest, although if it had been otherwise, it wouldn't have frightened me. I don't mind adventure and new surroundings. But really it had to do with just the orchestra, the community, and David's vision.
Well, they've got a pretty good rep.
They do. It's a fantastic orchestra. They sound amazing.
Yeah. How familiar were you with St. Louis?
Not very familiar at all. I had been here once before when I was an undergrad. There was a PASIC convention, which is Percussive Arts International Society convention. And I came here as an undergrad, and we did a clinic. And that was my first experience with St. Louis, and I'd never been here before. You know, since then. I hadn't been back.
Wow. So how do you find us?
You know, it's you kind of go where the jobs are. Wait, is that what you – did you mean how do I –
I don't mean literally on a map.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you find us now that you're here? What are your I'm really curious what your – now that you were only here one time. So
yeah.
What are your impressions of St. Louis?
I love St. Louis. It's I like how it's really accessible. It's not too overbearing like some cities. It's easy to navigate around. I love all the little – neighborhoods and communities like CWE and Soulard, the Loop. I like the Hill, you know, having these little nestled neighborhoods that are easy to get to, and they each have their identity, but it all collectively is St. Louis.
Well, I understand you've already had some debates about Provel cheese, so how do you stand on that?
Yeah, well, the verdict's still – well, it's not really out. I guess it's not my favorite cheese.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
We haven't been here very long. Another 40 years here.
Yeah.
You might change your mind.
I'll have to acquire a taste for that. Sorry.
Well, welcome to town.
Yeah.
When did you begin composing?
You know, my parents tell me when I was about 3 or 4, the first piece I composed was called Hot Dog. And my brother, I have a fraternal twin brother, and we were probably, I guess we were about 5, and we called them down to the family room, and we're like, listen to this piece we wrote. And we put on a little performance, just, you know, banging on anything in front of us, little drums and shoeboxes and horn whistles. But I became more of a serious composer, I would say, probably in my later teens, early 20s, and... You know, I would always write and improvise on the piano and even on the guitar, but I started writing musical ideas down, I'd say, in my late teens and early 20s.
All right. Well, you talk about composing. Let's talk about the piece that you composed. It'll be featured in this concert a week from Sunday, Oort Cloud.
Yeah.
And you said the inspiration is a place far, far away.
Yeah.
Out in the solar system somewhere.
Yeah. It's so... The piece is for solo percussion, and I'm playing the solo part. It's also for violin, viola, cello, flute, harp, and clarinet, and then another percussionist. So it's a group of 8, and it's a chamber piece, but features percussion. And it's very soloistic for all the instrumentalists. They all have their moment where they can shine and have, you know, a spotlight.
Well, I read a little bit about sort of the description about that Oort cloud and what's going on out there. I don't know. Just briefly, tell me a little bit about what does go out there. You know, there are comets. Is that what you're capturing?
Yeah, and it's easy to do with percussion. And there's different kinds of effects I use, with pizzicatos and very quick runs in the woodwinds that kind of project this idea of, you know, the celestial bodies I mentioned earlier of comets that are out there. And you know, a comet will, from a gravitational pull from one of the, you know, massive planets in our solar system, Jupiter, Saturn, they'll pull them out of that cloud and they just kind of like start projecting around space and whirl around and come back. And so musically, there's a lot you can do with kind of depicting that idea. And so I do that with percussion on a lot of the skin drums and kind of create that ethereal celestial body through usage of the marimba and the harp and the flute.
And as a timpanist, you tune your drums during the performance. Is that tricky?
You know, it is tricky, but, you know, right now this stage in the game is kind of second nature, so I don't really think of it as tricky anymore. But when I look back in developing that skill, it was difficult because the orchestra can be in a completely different key and suddenly you're tuning to prepare for, you know, a modulation that's coming up. But you're constantly, you know, like any string player, they're constantly adjusting their intonation, or woodwind player or brass players. I'm doing that as well, and I have pedals on the drums and also fine tuner handles. So I'm constantly playing, adjusting, because there's never a right or wrong. It's you need to sound in tune with what's around you. And if everyone is a little bit high in a section for various reasons, you know, you go with it.
This concert next Sunday, a week from Sunday, is part of the symphony's outreach programs that they do. And this one will involve, in one piece, I think, a student group from Washington University, Beat Therapy.
Yeah. They have they're called CRASH, and it's under this course book name, Beat Therapy. And it's completely an elective class for everyone, and they get together and basically use non-traditional percussion instruments. So it could be a bucket or a pan, and could be, you know, any kind of utensil. And they come up with a rhythmic idea and then throw that around the group and improvise. And in each individual, like, you know, one might have some drum experience, but some don't at all. But you know, they come together collectively and really make it work. And it's really interesting.
Could you briefly hit the highlights of the rest of the program?
Yeah. There's a piece called Kestrel for flute, harp, and percussion. And that was a piece that was commissioned and dedicated to Lawrence Trott of Pickelodeon. And the Kestrel is a falcon indigenous to North America. And it's the first bird that a falconer uses to train, because it's very lively, spirited. And so this piece puts into music terms the idea of the Kestrel, you know, the characteristic and personality and journey of a Kestrel. And then the other piece is called Brujo, and that is a solo percussion piece. What's really interesting about that, it's about the rhythms come from the Dagari people in Western Africa, Ghana area, and it's a culture that is really remote, so they're not influenced by a lot of Western European influence. And what I love about this people, from what I've read, is that the arts are like a supreme, you know, activity for them. And the piece involves different rhythms spread over four different limbs, and these polyrhythms and polymeters, and they all like overlap each other, and it's hard but really cool to listen to.
The St. Louis Symphony presents Symphony in Your College, a chamber music concert that will be Sunday, March 23rd, 7:30 p.m. at Washington University's 560 Music Center. For more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link to the symphony's website. People do need to know. No tickets are necessary. This is free and open to the public. And the whole thing clocks in at under an hour. People might want to know that too. And part of this outreach effort that the symphony is so well known for means that you're involved with college students, with coaching, master classes, lessons. Are you playing a part in that?
I am. There's a youth student in the youth orchestra that I'm going to be working with and give some private lessons to help them out to learn how to tune the timpani when the orchestra's playing.
All right. That's concert again is Sunday, March 23rd at the 560 Music Center. We've been talking with Shannon Wood, the principal timpanist for the St. Louis Symphony. Nice to meet you. Welcome to St. Louis. And
thank you.
Hope you enjoyed what I'm sure will be a long stay here.
And Provel cheese.
And Provel cheese.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you about that later.
Yeah. Nice to meet you.
There's more
Thanks
that you need
me.
To know about that. Thank you, Shannon Wood.
Thank you.
Coming up next, the recipe for a good restaurant, and later, briefs. This is St. Louis Public Radio.